Thank you for rocking with the Good Life Podcast, The Kickback. It's your boy, Good Life underscore Russ. Thank you for tuning in every week. Make sure you hit that subscribe button for us. You can find us on Facebook at Good Life Podcast, The Kickback. And you can find us on Instagram at Good Kickback. Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is a Good Life Podcast, The Kickback. It's your host, Good Life Russ. Like I say every episode, man, I just want to shout y'all out for tapping in, tuning in, subscribing, sharing. You know, make sure you keep these conversations going. That's the whole point of this platform, is to inspire new conversations and new thoughts, new ideas. This is a podcast about mental healing. It's about mental health. It's about self-awareness. It's about happiness, abundance, finances, trauma, healing. Messy shit. It's about everything. We're gonna cover all the topics. So again, thank y'all for tuning in. Like y'all tune in. It's much appreciated. So we got a guest on the show today. I've been excited to sit down and have this conversation, man. Super excited. My guy Reem, man, I'm gonna let you tell the people who you are.
Bet. What's going down, people? It's Reem, REEMSDOP. Reem's dope, you know what I'm saying? I'm a DJ, entrepreneur, go-getter, hustler, you know, a fly New Yorker, just doing what I do and not afraid to do it. And, you know, shout out to my dog, Tim, you know what I'm saying, inviting me over and, you know, here to discuss some things and, you know, get into some shit as we do. So, yeah, man, you can find me on social media, all handles under Reem's Dope. That's pretty much everything. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Reem's Dope on everything. If you ever see a fake page with a bunch of underscores, that's not me. Whoever that is impersonating me, just tell them to stop it now, because this is the second page in like a year, and I don't know what's going on, but like I said, we here now.
It sounds like niggas want to be you, dog.
That's what it be feeling like, man. It'd be so random. Like, I get online, I see messages, people like, oh, is this you? Why you ask me for my Venmo? I'm like, please, show me some respect. I would never be asking nobody for no Venmo, no Cash App, none of that.
Yeah, that's why. Hey, the scammers gonna scam, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Crazy with it.
They get creative, and it's just like, yo, fam, don't rope me into none of that shit. Don't use my face for that shit, man. Keep that to yourselves.
So, man, speaking of social media, we're gonna jump right into it. We're gonna get where you from, but I got questions, man.
For sure, shoot.
I've been tapped into your TikTok lately. What's the motivation behind your videos? Like, how'd you get that started? Because they're hilarious for one, but it's topics and stuff we should be talking about.
Thank you. Honestly, it's just me having like an opinion on mad shit. Like, I see a whole bunch of bogus stuff on a daily basis, whether it be like real life, social media. And now that like you got platforms where you could use your voice, I just use my voice to sometimes like just address shit. Cause sometimes I feel a way about it and I don't always get to, you know what I'm saying, get on the platform and give a whole essay on how I feel about something. So if I see something, TikTok is just like a quick response where I can just get on there and just go off. And as you see, like a lot of the topics, it'd be a lot of stuff that really bother me. It'd be something that bothers me. It's like, nah, we not doing this. We not gonna let this fly. So I'm gonna say my two cents on whatever it is. And this should be fun, but like you said, it'd be real conversations that niggas be having amongst the group chat, or I feel like we should be having on our platforms, than just the regular shit that we talk about on a daily basis.
And I feel like that's how TikTok elevated it. I used to, mm-hmm. I get so frustrated on Facebook trying to discuss something in the comments and through text. Yeah. Because it always gets lost in translation. And now TikTok, you can make a video on the comment.
Exactly. And that's what I love about it. You can just say whatever you're saying and you can hear my tone and how I say it instead of reading it and assuming it and taking it one way. Like, nah, you can hear how I really feel in the videos when I'm responding. So I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And we need more of it in the world. You know what I mean? I'm definitely the same way. I'm super opinionated. Mm-hmm. I think I'm just learning like what to give my opinion on and not
facts.
Have an expectation of the response to mm-hmm. my opinion. You know what I mean?
And that's what it is.
Because everybody has an opinion about everything, especially with this, you know, internet day and age. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's where we are. And I think we're getting away from who we were because everybody's just trying to create who they are today.
Yeah.
Someone new tomorrow and then somebody new on their birthday. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, new person at the end of the year. Like, fam, just be you. And that's really what it'd be like. If you ever see my videos on there, I'm either in a do-rag, hair look all crazy. That's just organic me just like going off about something. You ain't got to do no fancy makeup. I don't need the ring light. Like, nah, my nigga. If I'm seeing this in real time and I look crazy, I'm responding to you because you probably said something crazy. Like, nah, hold on. Hold on 1 second, gang. Let's get this together right quick.
Exactly. Then we go right to the next topic. I think that, too, is why it's elevating. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, Facebook, they'll talk about some shit for a week. TikTok, yep. You just basically say how you feel and keep it pushing.
Facts. It's very just quick and easy. Like, all right, this is this topic that's on the timeline. Let's say something. Then once we scroll past, it's going to be something new to discuss.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this is perfect to touch in, basically. Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, where you from, your upbringing, how it was for you as a child. You know what I mean? How it was for you in the home. And because a lot of people are starting to see through social media, like,
for sure,
we've been
sure.
like this. You dig?
Yeah, like, we've been like this again.
People be messaging me, like, you spicy. Like, you ain't seen nothing yet. Like, I'm pretty censored on the internet. Like, back in the day when we used to riff, like, there was no rules.
Yeah, there was no rules. Nothing was on regulation when niggas used to cut ass back in the day.
So how was that for you? I got to know now.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, so to answer the question, as people may or may not know, grew up, born and raised in the Bronx, New York. But both of my parents are Jamaican. I'm the youngest of 6 kids. So people always assume, like, being the youngest, I was spoiled and always had shit my way. Nigga, no. Nice. I had to fight to earn my way, earn my ranks up. And I had, like, a bunch of, like, nieces and nephews as a young nigga. So it was never, like, I had a chance to be the spoiled little rotten brother that, like, people think, like, the youngest one is. So I felt like I wasn't scrappy as a kid. Like, I had a good upbringing. Like, both my parents was there. Both my parents worked. But I just feel like I just learned a lot from, like, seeing shit my older siblings went through, seeing experiences my parents went through, and then just being in New York, you're exposed to so much different cultures. I feel like that's why, like, I'm just always so open to different things. Like, I'll hear anything out. I'll try anything at least once, depending on what that is. You know what I'm saying? But just being around it as a kid, it just opened me up to just be receptive to different point of views or receptive to different cultures. And I feel like that's really what shaped me to be who I am today, because when I moved to Ohio, it was a lot slower paced. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like it was just one, like, certain code. But then as I got older and I started to, like, see shit for myself, I'm like, all right, there's some people who do things one way. There's niggas who do things a different way. Like, all right. And you could differentiate that. Like, I feel like as an adult and as a man, you know what shit to, like, involve yourself in and not involve yourself in. You know what I mean?
So I want a sidebar in there because I heard Jamaican parents. What was the food like growing up? What were
amazing, amazing rice and peas, curry chicken, oxtail, you name it, we had it, fam. Like, the food is just crazy. And matter of fact, I be cooking myself. Like, when I'm in the mood, like, I really be chefing it up. And my dad was the main cook as a little nigga, so I would be in the kitchen. Like, he would call me in the kitchen to help him with stuff, and, like, I would just see how he cook up stuff. But the crazy part about my pops, this man has been vegan since I was born. I'm 31 now, yo.
Wow.
31 now. He's been vegan for, like, 31 plus years. And he could still make all those traditional recipes just by hand, son. Like, you would never think a vegan prepared what he prepares. And it's just like, this is talent. This is talent, my nigga. Like, it's like legit talent. It's just so wild. Be like, as a little nigga, I was chubby as a little nigga. Like, I had my skinny phase, but then, you know, I had my chubby nigga phase. Cause, you know, you're eating so good. And I wasn't always, like, into sports and shit like that as a little nigga. Like, I love watching basketball and football, but I never really got to participate too much because of the days they played. Yeah. Growing up as, like, an adventist. So, like, I didn't get to do too much until, like, I say, like, after high school, when I could, like, move on my own and do my stuff. I started playing for, like, different rec leagues and shit like that. So it was a good experience overall, for real. I really wouldn't complain too much.
Okay. So what were some of the differences from New York and Ohio you experienced as far as the people?
So as far as the people, I feel like in New York, of course, like, there's different cultures. And like I said, I feel like people were It was more aggressive. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people always get like, oh, New Yorkers are rude, but like in New York, you got to be there with a purpose. Even as a kid, like, you have somewhere to be. So there's no like stopping and lollygagging. Niggas is always on foot, hopping on the bus, hopping on the train. It's just constant nonstop. You from one point to the next point. And then whereas Ohio, I just feel like it was just more relaxed, easy going. You know what I'm saying? You take a nice little drive, you strolling down the neighborhood. I always joke and say, in New York, we ain't have trees. You know what I'm saying? With all the tall buildings. Like, of course, there's trees there, but like compared to Ohio, you didn't see too much nature like that. So it's just like a lot of architecture and shit like that. But being there, I just feel like it taught me to always want to get it.
Yeah.
Because you see people of all kind hustling stuff. You see somebody hustling drugs. You see somebody selling CDs, DVDs. My pops used to do taxi, unofficial taxi at the grocery store. So like, I saw that as a kid, like, it just gave me inspiration to always like, there's always something out there to go and get. And not saying that in Ohio, niggas is not hustling, which like I said, as I got older and started to see different things, y'all just get it differently. You know what I'm saying? Y'all just like, Ohio just gets it in a different way, which I don't knock it at all. Like, I admire like the hustle aspect from all point of views. Mm-hmm. It's just different levels. Like, I don't know like how to describe it without sounding crazy. I just feel like,
how do I describe? Like, I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like you understand what I mean.
Yeah. And I have a lot of different, you know, perspectives because I've lived in different places, but I lived in Boston for a little bit, which is really? God, it's New York. You know what I mean? Just smaller. Mm-hmm. But it's New York. And no, I get what you're saying. People here are a lot more complacent. They can wait around for the bag.
Going for it.
You know what I mean? And and I think that's how people are raised here, more like to raise a family, more than like, oh, try to make $1 million. You know what
facts,
I mean?
Facts.
So
facts.
I definitely agree with that. I get that a lot. So where did you pick up DJing at? How did that get into your life?
So as a kid, I always loved music. Like, a lot of my influences come from my dad. Like, I'll probably reference him a lot, like on a day-to-day basis. So my pops, he was always listening to reggae music, Bob Marley. But when we'd be like in the car, road trips on a day-to-day, he would have different radio stations on. And I always just love like different types of music. So do you remember back in the day when you used to listen to the radio, you couldn't record like the tape deck, like on the tape deck, you could record songs on there. So what I would do, I would pretend like I was on like Hot 97 or WBLS, say some little funky shit and record a song on the little radio, that the little boombox that we had inside the room. So I would always hear music, just be in a zone where like I think like, okay, this sounds kind of cool, or this sounds like this, that might blend together. Just had that ear for just being around it. And then as years went by, I want to say it was when I was in college, like after high school, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be senior and shit like that. I would be doing like kickbacks, and I'd always be like on the aux cord for like the kickbacks, just naturally, like just making a selection for music. And then it was one summer when I was about to graduate out of this college program I was doing, this massage program I was doing. My sister told me, she's like, hey, I'm getting married in such and such time, and you're the DJ. It wasn't like, do you know a DJ? Can you DJ? It was literally, you're the DJ, figure it out. I was like, bet. And what's wild is like, at the time, I was already like debating it because I was interning at, it was at the time, it was Pulse Radio. It might've been DPS Radio at the time. DPS Pulse Radio, same thing. I was interning there and I would mess around with the turntables a little bit. And when she told me that, I had got like a tax refund, had some change left. I was like, all right, bet. I'm gonna get a laptop, I'm gonna get some speakers, and I'm gonna find me like a little device. So I bought the shit. I was like, yo, I got the stuff for the wedding. When is the wedding? She's like, okay, it's this date. And then that's when I just started like just putting it out there. Like, I'm starting to DJ, was watching different videos, Jazzy Jeff, taking inspiration from DDA Drama, Don Cannon, and different people around, just trying different little shit. And I'll admit, I was ass at first. I was trash. My blends was garbage. My scratching was trash. It was buns, but I always knew what sounded good. Like, people always tell me like, hey, your selection is so unique, it just sounds so fire. So as time went on, I did the wedding, and then that just like catapulted me. Like that whole summer, I was doing graduation parties, house parties, different stuff like that. I was on the internet radio doing stuff. I had me a mix show that people know Rings Power Hour, and I'll bring people from the city in. And it just developed over time. Just my love of music, for real, for real.
That's fire, bro.
Yeah, man,
That's so
it's
fire.
crazy. It's
I didn't even
crazy.
know all that. That's dope.
Yeah, man.
So I seen one of your videos of something you posted, and
Okay.
I gotta ask, man. I gotta ask. I haven't been to too many, so I don't, you
Okay.
know, try to bust people's balls about it, but explain to me like a silent party. Like, explain, like, I don't want to talk shit about them because, like, there's only been like
Cool because
one,
honestly,
but.
silent parties are freaking hilarious to me. No matter how many I attend, no matter how many I DJ, it will always crack me up. So the silent party, silent disco, is basically, I said, call it a headphones party, my nigga.
Okay.
Basically, it's headphones. So you get the, I'll explain the setup. So what I want to say is, why is it a thing? I'm not sure, because I feel like the set to rent the headphones is more expensive than for me to like rent like a sound system, whatever. So basically, it gives people an opportunity to party together, but also listen to music that they particularly like.
Okay.
So you'll get like four channels, and usually typical in the party, you got one hip hop and R&B, you got
Okay.
one old school, you got one rock, and one like in between. So it gives a bunch of people a chance to party together, but still listen to what they actually like specifically. And that shit is funny. Every time I look and record, all I think of is like the screeching sneakers on the court. And everybody just be cutting up, dancing, dancing off beat, dancing off key, and they just got these headphones going crazy. It's wild, son. It's wild.
So do they be dancing with each other?
Fam, they be dancing. I did one, I want to say earlier this year.
Gotta go.
Fam, and a couple was dancing to different stations. They all different colors, but they was
Crazy.
going crazy. But now people be, yo, they be cutting up on the dance floor with the dance moves, and they be singing their hearts out. Like if you ever just like took your
Oh.
headphone off and hear how they going crazy, it's so funny to me, yo. It's so funny to me.
I gotta go, man. I gotta
Yeah,
go.
you got to, fam. You
I gotta
got to. Like
go.
it's worth the experience. So it's definitely worth the
Yeah,
experience. It's fun.
that's what I wanted for, cause I remember during the pandemic when they was doing the house parties and the online, I was like, you know, that's the kind of shit. At first glance, you're like, what the fuck? And then once it happened a couple times, you're like, all right, let me try it out.
Like, yo, this ain't kind of
Bro,
bad.
the
This ain't
DJ was
that
going crazy in there.
Yeah, that's what it
I was
is.
like,
Like,
this kind of
yeah.
turf for real.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's low key live. Like, I used to go, like, during the pandemic, I used to go live on Instagram before they, like, damn near banned my access to go live on there. I used to
Damn.
go live on Sundays.
Okay.
And I used to call it the family cookout. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Playing all the oldies, the R&B stuff, and just rock out for like an hour and talk to people on there. Just because there was nothing to do and I wasn't gigging. Like, I had gigs booked, but they end up getting canceled because we couldn't go nowhere.
Right.
So I tell people like, yo, just jump on the Instagram live. And then now I'll get on Twitch every now and again and do some streams. So
Yeah,
that shit's fun.
I don't feel like the people that made Twitch likes how we're using Twitch now.
They don't. They don't. They definitely don't. The way we using it wasn't their purpose for it, but
Yeah.
we bringing them so much revenue, it's like you really can't deny niggas. We helping y'all.
And I think that's a lot what people are looking for, especially in their day-to-day, being at work, at the gym, at home. Like, you really want to feel like you're there, you know, and everybody can't fit in the
Yeah.
studio with you. So I
Exactly,
think
exactly.
this is interesting how things is panning out. Like, so what was life for you like during the pandemic? How did that go for you?
Man, to keep it a stack, yo, the pandemic was hell for me, son. Like, I'm not
Yeah.
even gonna lie. Like, I kind of, not kind of, I got damn near depressed. Like, I had a relationship I was in during that time, and it just really made me realize a lot with myself and a lot of shit I was dealing with, I shouldn't have been putting up with, and I shouldn't have been involving myself with. So for like that first year, man, it was just a lot of just anger. Like, I didn't realize how frustrated or why I was getting so frustrated at little stuff. Like, I would just be so pissed at certain things I couldn't do. So honestly, a lot of the time, man, I just spent taking my herbal supplements and just going on drives late at night, fam. Like, the pandemic was trash. Although I will say, as things started to turn, I'm turning a negative into a positive. Mm-hmm. And started to reinvest in my business. Like, I had, during that time, I started my beard business, which is temporarily on hold, but I'm coming back. Dabba Man Beard Products, we coming back. I finally got to launch that. I invested back into my DJ business. And I feel like I did a lot of, it was a lot of self-evaluation and a lot of like research just on shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Watching little nature channels to like decompressing this. I think a lot of it, I really like rediscovered who I was, who Ring really is.
Yeah.
And like, it opened my eyes to like, damn, my nigga, like, you was on some bullshit. So it made me look at myself like, all right, this is what's been going on for however long. It's time to.
That's real, man. I like to hear that. I could kind of say the same for real, especially during the pandemic.
Yeah,
I could say the same during the pandemic. It was an eye opener, you know, and mm-hmm. I think we need that just in general, speaking as artists.
Yeah.
Where we really can reflect on our work, because, you know,
yep.
It's ego is so big in art. It's easy to get full of what you've done. You did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one way I conquer and deal with that is I don't really feel like I've done shit. You know, I allow people to feel like I'm doing something special.
Yeah.
I just don't. I always feel like I can top what I'm doing. You know
yep.
what I mean? And maybe it's in a different area, but
mm-hmm.
shit, life rarely is just going to stop itself and give us time to adjust, you know,
to reflect and all that.
Yeah. The pandemic showed we got to naturally build that into our routine, self-reflection
mm-hmm.
and asking a tough question. Like, is this my best work?
You yeah.
know what I mean? So now moving forward, like, what's your plans mm-hmm. as far as DJing?
All right, man. So where I'm at now, as far as like the music and stuff goes, I'm taking it on a different angle. I'll still DJ and do stuff like that, but I'm ready to get into like the music production bag. And I may not necessarily be the one behind the mixing board making the beat, but I want to orchestrate some shit. I want to collaborate and bring the arts together to produce songs and projects, which I'm working on that. I got a few people I've been talking with to get that rolling. So I'm getting more active on behind the scenes, like I said, with the music production. And I've been debating on getting back into the event space aspect of it, like doing like shows like I was doing before. I haven't decided if I want to commit fully to that, but I've definitely been in like thoughts of like, all right, maybe I can do like a couple events to build up some momentum. But that's where I'm at with it right now. Well, I still DJ on the side, but the main thing is that executive bag, that executive hat, and really just like orchestrate some stuff.
So do you make beats?
I have in the past. I'm not that great at it. It's something that I have been working on, but I feel like, not feel like, what I've been doing is just helping put things together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Creating concepts. But I've made beats in the past. It's just not something I stuck with long enough to like officially give myself that hat of like a producer in that aspect.
And I think that's the beauty now that we're getting into these bigger industries as artists, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Cause like,
yeah.
I'm a writer and I didn't realize how many different aspects they use writers in when it comes to movies and plays,
yeah.
big productions. You
yep.
may have like 10 writers, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So I think that's important for us as Black people to start getting into those.
Yeah.
Like, the do-it-yourself shit is cool. You know what I mean? I'm not discouraging people from that, but we have to get in bigger
mm-hmm. production.
That leads to more opportunities and
yep.
a way to monetize what you've been doing that you didn't even
Facts.
Realize existed.
Facts. Unlock that potential that you didn't know that was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I've learned that too. Like, I'll even drop a nugget, some shit called sync licensing.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I gathered, like the research I've been doing with the sync licensing is basically like you create a song, an artist can do it, like who owns the rights to their song, they can license that song to be like sold, to be distributed in commercials, movies, trailers, like whatever it is. And I don't gotta do no hard footwork. I lease it to this company, and you could hear that song on like a piece of that song during the show. Like, you know how like on what's a good show I could give an example of? Like how Insecure on that show, how they have like different like music snippets. That's all through sync licensing. It might not be your full song, but because it got on that episode, you're getting revenue from that, and you ain't gotta work OD hard to push that out. And like you said, like the whole thing of doing like things by yourself, it's all about working smarter and not harder, fam, and building that team to allocate different duties too. You know what I mean? That's another thing I wanted to mention. I realized I gotta stop trying to do it all by myself when there's people that's around that's willing to support and help whatever it is I got going on. Stop being afraid to ask for help, dog. I promise you, life will change so much.
I agree. And I see both sides of that. I understand for people why it's, they feel best sometimes to do it on their own. But at the end of the day, like, that just shows what you're doing, because it's going to need more people as it grows. It's going to have to hire more people. So if it's still just you and you're comfortable in it, it's like, it's changes that need to be made.
There's adjustments that need to happen, and you might not catch it right away.
Teamwork definitely makes the dream work. Like, so what
Facts,
do you
yo.
feel are some steps that we need to take to unify as people?
As people, man, and I'm not gonna even say like we need to be more humble, because when you say you need to be humble, I feel like that's like telling somebody to dumb themselves down. So let's not even say be humble. I think we need to be more open and receptive to others. Like, yeah, we might have like our clique of people, but be willing to have that conversation. Like, if you know somebody from another crew or clique has something that's not even necessarily better, but they can do something that'll benefit you, you don't necessarily say, oh, join. You don't necessarily gotta like have them as members of your team, but allocate that duty. Like, okay, bet, reach out. I know this man is good with the graphic designs. He's good with doing a certain type of stuff. Let's just reach out instead of just being, oh, I'll figure it out, or we ain't gotta worry about doing this that clean. Like, no, my nigga, like, you know somebody has a stronger suit than you, be willing to talk and add okay. Be okay with asking for help. That's what it is. That's what we have to do. We have to be willing and open to not only receive criticism, but be willing to, seek help. You can't do it all by yourself. I don't care what you say. You cannot do it all by yourself. And your man's not might not be the best for this. My people might not be the best for this, but we know what we're looking for. So be willing to ask that next person, like, yo, well, can you show me how you did that? Or can we pay you to do this service? So just be willing to ask for help. Openness.
I feel like if I could say anything was missing in Ohio, that would be what we're missing. That major cities have already set in place because they've gotten those opportunities. Like, that's really the only thing that sets them apart. You know what I mean? Like, they've performed in stadiums. And that hasn't always been, like you're saying, that hasn't always been something they did. They might have knew somebody who was throwing the event, or somebody owed them a favor, you dig, like
And
from
you
the
just threw him
past.
one. Yeah, you threw him a bone. Like, I be on Instagram, YouTube, different platforms, and I see like how all these other cities work together. Like, granted, there's niggas that hate on each other for whatever, but think about all these crews that we seeing are like collaborating, all these people that are doing stuff together. I think of like the rappers and the West Coast, whether niggas is cousins, brothers, friends, they always putting their next man's on. I think of rappers in New York. You got cats from Harlem, Brooklyn, Queens, collaborating with each other. Like, okay, bet, I'm doing a show at this arena. I got booked to do this arena, and they're giving me 45 minutes. This is about to be the DJ Ream and Friends set. You don't know all the friends, but because I got this opportunity, and I know the homie does this, this, and this. Like, yo, I'm gonna bring out so and so. Boom, come do a song. You come do a song. You come say some spoken word. Here's this person's beat. Here's this person's song. They couldn't be there, but we're gonna play their beat. Everybody here is just so stuck on, nah, man, I got it. I'm gonna do this alone, or I ain't worried about nobody. And That's what's keeping niggas so stagnant, not being willing to work with each other.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I worry, like, can that be taught? You know what I mean? Because even if you look like 80s, 90s, when you start looking at hip hop, you look at New York, you look at Atlanta, like, the reason they were getting to those plateaus is because, like, when LL Cool J is doing a press or an interview, he's talking to you about Jay-Z. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he's talking to you about a different artist who y'all don't know about, but y'all should know about.
Exactly.
And it seems like that's more so like their character. You feel me?
Yep,
like,
yep, that's what it is.
It's they're not being trained to do this. They're not being scripted to do
this. It's
just
organic. It's organic. Yeah, it's just organic. It's just real. And that's so true. Like, when you see that stuff, like when they're accepting awards or like doing those interviews, they're referring to somebody else. Because quiet is kept. You get inspiration on a day-to-day basis. You on social media, you probably see something and get inspired by the next man to do something. And some cats won't even give it up like that. Yeah. Although you got that inspiration from freaking Marcus or Lawrence, you're not going to say like, oh yeah, man, I saw Lawrence song and I seen the way he used the drums and the guitar in this. That's what inspired this. Like, what's so hard about just giving that man some credit? Yeah. You know what I mean? Too much pride. Let go of that pride.
Yeah. And that's rampant in places where I feel like there isn't those front runners. Like, yeah, here, we don't have the top artists. We don't have a top athlete. We don't have things like that. We have a bunch of people who feel they want to be that, but they're not really willing to do the work to be in that position. You know what I mean? Because that comes with a lot of pressure, you know? And I think people fully understand that now. Like, to create something, it damn near seems impossible. Like, then imagine, like, topping that shit now. Like, people love it, and now you got to do better.
You got to keep it going. You got to keep going better than you did before.
Yeah, like, that's people. I don't feel like their day-to-day life is set up for them to deal with those type of, you know, hardships. But I think now that's what created, like, the Midwest. That honesty that I don't want to live in New York and have to, I also don't want to have to compete with these niggas out there.
Exactly, exactly. And I'll be the first to tell you, fam, I have no plans on moving back home unless there's an opportunity specifically there.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless I get a call like, yo, we need you to be on this show or do this for X and Y Z amount of time, I bet I go back. But this is to be like, oh yeah, I'm moving back to start over and come up. Nah, my nigga, like, time to take this show on the road and do something elsewhere or just work what I got here.
I'm in almost cool in the Midwest, man. Like, I've been really, like, eyeballing the South. Yeah, I just feel like the things that are, like, our real obstacles shouldn't be our obstacles. You know what I mean? That's a big reason why I didn't want to stay on the East Coast. Like, my biggest op was rent. Like, that's a problem.
Facts. Facts.
Hated that nigga every month.
Every 30 days.
That shit is crazy. And in any industry, you're going to have slow seasons. Any industry, you're going to stall out at some point. But that rent's still ready. That's still waiting. Like,
that rent gonna be there, dog. You better have it. You got your nine. I bet. Say less.
And I found out niggas in Atlanta with mini mansions. I said, yeah, we doing something wrong. Like, well, something went wrong somewhere.
Somewhere the lines got crossed and the I's didn't get dotted, fam.
Yeah. And we just been going along with it, man. I think that was, again, a big part of what the pandemic was. It's like, all right, we did things for a certain way up to this point. Now what we about to do?
Yeah, like, you got to adjust the game. You can't keep repeating the same shit you've been doing and not getting a different result. You got to readjust the game.
That's 100%. Like, sometimes that reflection is the isolation. It's solidarity, man. I know. I didn't realize how many people aren't used to being alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Until I really started diving into therapy and doing pods and shit. I'm just like, damn, like, these jokes on the internet don't be jokes. Like, y'all really don't date yourselves and you don't really know yourself for real.
You don't really love yourself, gang.
Damn.
You hate you. What Jay-Z say? These niggas afraid to be themselves.
That shit is crazy, man. But it's like, insane. We prioritize all this other bullshit instead of getting to know yourself.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And all that shit, it just be distractions. Like, people just distract themselves from just looking at themselves. Like, you're distracting yourselves and avoiding the it like just look into yourself, like just take off that scope and look at yourself for a second and just be at peace with just being you. You know what I mean? And it don't even take too much. I feel like the right experiences will force you into that isolation. But then it's how do you come up from that? Do you come out of that and think like, nah, man, I still need to see Shorty, or I still need to hang with gang? Like, nah, my nigga, like, park it for a second, take a couple steps back, take a few weeks off, not even days. Give yourself a few weeks to really just realize, like, okay, what benefit is being around this person or these people bringing me? They bringing me joy, laughter. They bringing me, you know what I'm saying, frustration. Every time I'm with them, I gotta spend this amount of money on, you know what I mean? Sit with yourself and think like, okay, bet when I'm alone, I can do this better. I can do that. And it's not even to say like, you're never gonna hang with people, but you have to do that self-evaluation, and people are so afraid to do it. They keep running from it. And the more you run is the more you're gonna suffer.
Yeah, and it's like, misunderstanding is what gets people to this point. They think once they open that door, it's game over. There ain't gonna be no more doors. You know, they think once you step back from something, you done lost a friendship. Like, but what we gotta understand is, like, people sometimes need, more times than not, need to feel your absence. Like, they need to be disconnected from you. And I've heard people say all the time, like, you know, I don't fuck with so-and-so no more, but y'all texting. Like, they need to feel your complete absence. None of the favors you do, none of the kind words you give them, none of the lights you bring around them, they need to completely be absent of that. Because then one or two things going to happen. Your life is going to be better without them, and that's something you need to be aware of. Or you've set off a trigger in them that made them realize they was taking you for granted. So either then, now they got a road. Now either they going to say, fuck you, or they going to change. You dig? There's only two options in these situations. And that's why people are afraid now to make a choice, because they think it's going to be their last choice. Or they think, oh, I'm going to be happy and I won't be able to enjoy the things I enjoyed when I was toxic. Like,
exactly. You're
going to be able to enjoy them things.
Like, yeah, it's just going to be differently.
Your happiness is just now you're choosing to enjoy those things. You know, when you're on survival, you're just rolling the dice. You don't know what the fuck going to happen. You guessing. You gambling. You feel? When you happy, you're choosing that. I'm choosing to smack this motherfucker because they disrespecting me.
Exactly.
Back in the day, I just did it because the neighborhood told me to do it. Now, this is really what I want to do.
Yeah, like, let me think about this for a second. Like,
so live with that. That's loving yourself. Living with that. People, again, think that enlightenment and starting to love yourself mean I got to be nice or I got to be good. That don't mean none of that shit. It mean you got to be able to lay your head down at night with your choices throughout the day. And most motherfuckers can't. That's why they drunk all day. That's why they fucking lit all day. Or that's why they have all these distractions around so that they don't never have to deal with the problem until it's too late.
Exactly.
And then they act like they eager now, but it don't matter what you do. It's stage four, you dig? It's a wrap.
Exactly. That's a fact. That you said that perfectly, my nigga, because it's so true. It's so true. I always say you got to choose your adventure wisely and be positive and sure that the decision you made is the best one for you. Because once you make that choice, you got to live in that. You got to deal with that. Somebody told me, oh, yeah, I don't think we're going to work out. I don't think we can hang as much as we used to. I'm not feeling this. That's your choice. I respect it. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to tell you, oh, start giving you out my traits or what I'm going to do differently. Whatever I was doing caused you to say this to me, because you didn't come and say to me, do you want to work on this? You told me flat out, you're done with doing this. It's not serving you. Bet. You ain't got to say no more. I respect it. Appreciate the time we had. Be well. Oh, so you're not going to fight for this? What am I fighting for? You got to do what's best for you, Shorty. You got to do what's best for you. And it's okay. Does it suck? Yes. But as it is what it is, it sure is. That's life. You'll be okay. I'm going to be okay, my nigga.
Yeah. And that
straight up,
that is like supreme maturity. You know what I mean? Being able, that's a lot of, you know, what we have to discuss with this younger generation is like,
yeah,
go separate ways without confrontation in any situation.
Any situation.
We choose confrontation. That's not just there waiting for us. We choosing that. You know what I'm saying? I tell people that all the time. Like, if you're not choosing connection with me, you choosing disconnection. You can paint it however you want to, but we're still here at this impasse. So the only thing I focus on is what we're going to do next.
Exactly.
You dig what I'm saying? Fuck what happened. What's going to happen moving forward? But that takes security. You dig? And the internet been picking with niggas' insecurities. Like, I hate when people say it's the reason. The internet's the reason. Nah, it's just exposing motherfuckers' shit they've been hiding. They can't hide it.
Yeah. It's just opening your eyes to so much more. Like, you ever, like, watch something and see something? Like, damn, I feel like I was getting called out, son. Like, I feel like this was personal. I'm like, oh, I've been avoiding this. I've been acknowledging that monster. Like, now this monster's in my face and somebody's saying it word for word, bar for bar. Oh, it's time to make a change.
Yeah.
It's time to adjust. It's time to pivot. Mm-hmm. Damn, the internet's fucking you up. Nah, my nigga. The internet is opening your eyes up to what you've been, what you know what's going on, but you're choosing not to acknowledge. You're choosing to avoid it.
Yeah, 100%. And we all have to be held accountable in that situation. That's the beauty of when, you know, I love when a person tries to tell you about yourself.
Oh, it's my favorite. That's my favorite genre. Tell me about
I overstand, like, I talk shit through experience. You know what I mean? I wouldn't know something so well unless I lived it. Exactly. So when someone's trying to tell me about something that I do, first, I already understand you do this shit. You dig?
Mm-hmm.
And you want mine to be louder so they don't hear yours, which lets
exactly
you ain't working on it. Because for me, like, there's nothing you can say about anybody on this earth that I haven't already addressed with myself and come to terms with. So there's nothing you can say that would trigger me in a way that I'm going to get out of character. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But there's a fine line with that also because I'm a person of principle. So, like, I try to look into what you're saying and why you're saying it. You feel me?
Yep.
Because if it's some disrespect behind it, you know, I got ways I handle disrespect.
Exactly. So it's like, it's a fine line. You can say whatever you want, but it's all on how you deliver that message.
Yeah.
Because when you want to deliver the message while aggressive, while spicy, oh, bet. If I got time and I feel it in my spirit to really give it to you, oh, you're going to get it for sure. You're going to get it for sure.
Yeah.
Let's just hope you catch me on a good day where I'm just,
See, and that's a nasty game, man. That's why when I was younger, I got out of a lot of relationships because people try to push you to that breaking point because they want to see it. But then it's changed everything once you get there. Like, you can't look at me the same no more. That's going to change your whole perception of me. That's why I try not to just leave with that type of response to shit. But at the end of the day, when I get to that point, like, I've come to terms, I think we may never be cool again. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying. Like, I've accepted this is over. So,
yeah,
I don't give a shit. And how I look at the world, there's more people in this world that I won't know. So, what's to add one more motherfucker over to that pile? You dig?
You just like, one less gray hair out of my beard. Like, yeah, you just like, less, you know what I mean?
I'm not tripping, man. And I think this is where a lot of us, we've had these thoughts, we've had these ideas, like, man, what's my purpose? Why am I here? And I think a lot of times when we're younger, we fall off. A lot of people deal with suicide and shit because we don't know our purpose. We don't know why we're here. We don't know why we're dealing with all this fucked up shit. You dig? Right. Like, and as we get older, like, we learn to establish those things. And I think that's the lines that artists have been wanting to establish. There's always been two choices for artists. It's either your art or your family. In relationships and shit. And now I feel like we're trying to find the balance to have
that happy medium.
You know what I mean? But do both well, not just have both, exceed in both. You know what I mean? So, like, what you've gone through pandemic, where you are today, you know what I mean? What's your craft? How do you feel about relationships? How do you as far as how does it prioritize in your life?
Man. I'll prioritize with like my work, like as an artistry and like my relationships. It just, I feel like it's a case by case scenario.
Okay.
Where does this person rank me in day life?
Okay.
Where does my work rank with dealing with this person? If I know I got to be in the studio and so-and-so hit me up, but they really be on some bullshit whenever we're around or when I talk to them. Okay, but I'm going to drop you down and I'm going to focus on this. Mm. So now we right here. We got another person that they give me that time and that respect. And these are kind of interfering. Okay, bet, let's split this up. I got to sacrifice a little bit of time for one thing to make time for the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then depending on what it is, I tell them like, hey, look, as much as I want to do this, this is where I'm in the middle of this. Let me get this taken care of. and we're going to get up after this. So it really is a case by case, depending on who it is. Because if the right person call me, I'll cancel that studio session. I'll make up for it. The wrong person call or text, I'm really going to stay here for a couple hours now. I'm really locking longer than I planned on it because they playing with me now. Yeah. They still think it's a joke. So yeah. I try and keep a nice even balance. Like I always joke and say, like I do a lot of stuff in my Google Calendar now, so I remember what's going on, where I need to be, when I need to be there. You know what I mean? So if something don't meet that calendar, it wasn't that important. Or if that person, like I said, you don't make it seem like I'm important or priority to you, I'm not going out of my way to prove myself to nobody no more, fam. Like I'll sit in this studio and write out concepts for videos, ideas, events for hours on end until I get that right message from that right person. All right, let's take a break. Let's dive into this conversation. Let's catch up with so-and-so. Mm-hmm. How they been doing? You know what I'm saying? They've invested in me. They poured into my cup. Let me pour back into them. But you know, people hit your phone all the time with some nonsense and you just look at your phone like, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let me get back to doing what I was doing. So it's all on however I rank with that person. And I realize, how does that person make me feel? That's how I do it as. How did this person make me feel? Should I really, you know what I'm saying, entertain this nonsense? Or should I just keep doing what I was doing and stay on that path?
Eight out of 10? The same way. I feel like that's the only way to do relationships is because mm-hmm. at the end of that process now, you've put all the accountability on them. Like now, you yep. can look at our dynamic and I can mm-hmm. show you where how you moving. That's yep. why it looks like this. And that's not good or bad. That's, it just is what it is.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
And that's where, again, now we're getting to these dynamics where we're trying to forge and form these tribes and these communities. But mm-hmm. realizing, again, not good or bad, we was all raised different. You did.
Yeah.
Emphasis on raised different.
Like, facts. Big
we're
that.
Trying to find the same way of living. I think that's why a lot of us are like butting heads and shit, you know?
Because mm-hmm.
people are hardcore on their philosophies of their family. And every, like me personally, I've created my own family philosophies. And some of them
yeah.
I carried over. But a lot of this shit is because the world changed. You can't raise your kids yeah, the same. Yeah,
you can't raise them the same way that you did in the 90s, fam.
Yeah, like the world, we're different kids than these kids. You know what I mean? So like
yeah.
everything's different. And I think that's how we connect with each other. We got to be more understanding that things are changing. But
mm-hmm.
when you got a person who wants to stay 18,
yeah.
they got to ignore the world changing.
Yep.
You feel me?
They be so shut out. They be so shut off where they still in that same mindset from when we was younger. And it's like, yo, dog. You gotta grow from that. You gotta come up out of that.
Yeah.
There's so much more in the world going on. Or like, we're no longer doing it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That doesn't work anymore.
We need new passions.
Facts.
You know, like we need a lot of new passions. For me in my childhood, like sports was pretty much my life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, getting up in the morning, going to workouts, going to training, like that was my whole day.
Yeah.
Going to hoop, you know what I mean? And then when it wasn't, it was like, damn, like I like spiral for like 8 months. I was just like,
yeah.
I got hurt. So, you know, it was like taken away from me. It wasn't like, oh shit, I'm gonna stop hooping. It was like,
yeah, it got ripped from you.
And I didn't fuck with like getting surgeries and shit. So they like, shit, if you want to keep playing, that's gonna be your future. You feel me? So
yeah.
I'm just like, fuck, like this choice is made for me. And that's what was so hard. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought I missed basketball, but really it was the structure. It was the friendships. It was being with your homies. It was traveling.
Yep.
I had a life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think now we're realizing that coming into our 30s, like we have to have lives, but it's like
yeah.
so many people were not preparing for that in their 20s. And me,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I was going out of town. We going to concerts. We going to shows. I was living life. Like
Facts.
Fuck it. And it was from spiteful reasons. It was because a lot of us was living on borrowed time. Like, especially yep. when you got your friends dying from random shit. I had friends dying from sickness, not just even violence, from
yeah.
life shit. You know what I mean? So, like, the news telling you, like, you don't live past 21. Like, I was really living on borrowed time. I'm trying to kick it. I'm trying mm-hmm. to have fun. I'm trying to experience life. I'm trying to eat some new food. I'm trying to get a new career. You
right.
know what I mean? Niggas was selling knives door to door and shit. Like,
pops and knives.
Years yep. later, I would just look back like, what the fuck was younger me doing? Like, nigga was
yeah, like
shit.
We really doing some crazy ass shit. Like, we really doing some crazy ass stuff to get to this bag. You know what I mean?
by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. Working 10 hours in the warehouse as if you got a bunch of kids waiting at home, or you gotta take like that's wild.
Niggas was living on honey buns and hot cocoa, man.
Facts. Facts. That's a fact. That's a fact right there. Yep.
Getting up early in the morning, working on my shit. I'm like, damn, it really hit me one day. Like, I can't keep living like this. Nigga looked in the mirror, like, who have I become? Like,
yeah, like, who is this man? Who is this man?
Cinderella in this bitch. Like, I gotta switch it up. But damn, bro, shit changed like in the least expected ways. I was club promoting. I got into club shit, and the only reason I got into clubs was because like I had smaller kids, you know what I mean? And my daughter was like in and out the hospital, so I really couldn't work a job for real. Like,
right.
So I had to work like the graveyard shit, you know what I mean? So clubbing, like, I've always hated going out. I don't love the club at all. Like, and I think it's just the whole concept of what it's become. You know what I mean? It's not even like I think the concept of the club isn't even fully entertainment no more. Like, it's just
it's just a money grab.
Yeah, it's just straight money grab, bro. And
it's a money grab.
It's disgusting. But when I first got into clubs, I was promoting for like I started in like Icon era. So I was on Icon on Thursdays, you know what I mean? Screaming Willies, Charlie Bear, like all of those we was doing, you know what I mean? Fucking Cabana, Coliseum, Studio 69, Major Woodies. So at that time, like, it was really becoming boring to me. Like, I did a little experiment for a month. Like, all right, I'm starting to understand the club's only appealing when you're drunk. So I'm like, I'm going to be in here sober and see how it is. Oh, bro, it was a horrible
It is sober, and you looking like, what is this?
And niggas think they look good, and they look gross, and I'm just like,
niggas think they macking it up on my fam. You look crazy.
And time is dragging. It feel like 10 days for this night. I'm like, you done heard the same song four times now. I'm like, bro.
Yep.
So I'm about to go out. I'm about to leave. You know what I mean? And I always try to take game from what I'm doing. Like, no matter what, even if it's unfavorable, even if I'm doing somebody a favor and it's going left and I'm annoyed now, I still try to take something from it.
Take something from it. A nugget from it.
I started networking with the other promoters, which at that time, the promoters was basically in competition with each other. It's a little different now because it isn't as many promoters. But back then, I mean, fuck, like you would have thought
It was like 10. It was like 10 niggas.
Niggas is really putting their events on days that your event is just to compete with you. Like, nut shit. So I'm like, all right, I'm about to turn. We about to turn this around. You feel me? So I just start networking with the promoters, like. Shit, like maybe we can turn this into something, you feel me? So then that's what started breeding, like the Icebreakers at OSU. That's when we start getting Newport and really start coming together. Big promoters on one night. And it's just this night. We not really talking about us putting us on type shit. So that was cool for a couple years. And then it was the Columbus shit. It's just the niggas want the idea to work if it's their idea. They're not comfortable with
letting somebody else's
idea when it's better, when there's a consensus that is better, but they can't see their idea not being the idea. And I'm the type of nigga, I'm gonna tell you, idea sucks, like, especially if it sucks. Like, I'm gonna make it better. I don't want you to cry in the car, you dig? Like, I want you to work on it. Like,
this is where you can improve, my nigga. This is what you can do differently. But niggas is not trying to hear none of that.
They don't want to, bro. And that's what we're missing. I think that's what's so hard for us all to come together. Because you go to Atlanta, people take that as constructive criticism. You go to New York, they've been talked to worse by their mother, their grandmother. Like, they're not worried about that. They can hear what you're saying. They're not just listening, you dig? Like,
I can understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, but here is so much emotion, bro. Like, I've done so many business deals in the past and just I thinking it's about to go business, and now we talking about some personal shit. And hey, you know, such and such, like, nah, this ain't that.
That's not it. Like, did you hear back from the baker or not?
Yeah, we don't even gotta be buddies to do business. We do not have to be friends, man. Like, we don't have to be all close, but if an idea works, like, I will go with that idea. Even if I'm number three on this idea, I'm gonna do as much as a number three can fucking do.
Listen, and there's nothing. Yo, I even bring it back to the DJ shit, fam. I was doing opening sets for different artists. I was doing shit for free. You know what I mean? Just to say that, yo, I was a part of this. Yeah. Granted, now the game is different. Because I'll even say, like I've said on my platform before, I just feel like the game, that like the DJ game is so cliquish now. People have they certain five or they certain three that they mess with and never get nobody outside of that circle. So it's like, I just stopped caring. Stopped caring. I'm not pleading my case to nobody. I'm not begging nobody to do nothing. Like, y'all know what I'm capable of. If you want to hear something, ask. You want to book me, y'all know how to reach me. But all this repeating of the same cycle of niggas doing the same cycle of shit, and then people complain. Oh, man, every event is the same. They do the same thing. Hey, talk to your promoters.
Thank you.
Don't talk to me. Talk to your promoters. Don't complain to me. Talk to them, because you a consumer. You spend your hard-earned money there. Give them some feedback. You don't like what you're paying for? Give them some feedback.
Yeah. It's the money grab shit, man. But that's why I got out of events for a while. That's what it was becoming. Just the price of admission for some of these events, like,
just don't make no sense.
I'm like, yo, y'all bugging. And then it's not really any structure. It's just a building with a flyer. That's not an event.
Yeah.
And like, it goes into so much more to booking an event than that.
Yeah, fam.
You know what I mean? Like, But that's also, I think, why I'm about to get back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yep. To show how it's done.
I understand why we did what we were doing for that this last decade. You know what I mean? And you hit the nail on the head. Is you were building a resume. And to me, in the market, that's fairness. The resume should get paid. Like, that's who should get top dollar. People who have a resume. You actually can show where you was a part of this show, this production. You had ideas behind this, you know what I mean, structure. Yep. You helped with this song. You put this artist on. You dig what I'm saying? And now, rightfully so, like, it's okay for us to start asking for our worth. And back then, I always felt weird about that because I was learning. And I didn't want to get paid for learning. Some opportunities you do, but most is just like you having conversations with people who've been doing this for 30 years.
Yep.
They know more than everyone else about this shit. Whether you like them or not as a person.
They know it. Exactly. They know
it. They have the fucking game ready to give it to you in a matter of weeks and months.
Exactly.
You feel me? What's more important than that with your time?
That's what I'm saying.
That's that humility, though. I think that's just where, you know, some people get put into these rural areas trying to, you know, get the crowds to move out of their way of thinking. But we still got small town thinking. You know, as big as the city they want to make Columbus, it's still a small town to me. And it's the people.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The small town mindset. Big city dreams, small town mindset.
Yeah. And that impasse is internal. We can't. This is why I've learned a lot of projects I did with people they were doing with me. You're trying to find a shortcut. Like, the truth is, you got to take the journey on your own. Like, no one can bring you to where they are. They can tell you how to get there. You feel me? But they don't have no elevator for you to use, no back stairwell nobody else know about. Like, they don't have none of that shit. They climbed.
They climbed, my nigga, and they're still climbing. Some people are still climbing. My niggas aren't satisfied, and they're still climbing. But you got to be willing to climb yourself, bump your head, and scrape your knees a little bit. But niggas want a gift wrap, and it's like, nah, it don't go that way.
It doesn't, man. And I think we will have some small-town greatness. I think we already have. Like, Columbus has had some amazing...
They got talent. The city got talent.
Amazing artists come through here, amazing musicians, you know what I mean? And I think we still do, but I think, you know, what I want here is a festival. I think we need something to that magnitude, that's consistent. The only thing we're known for in the city is getting a vibe and losing that bitch.
Yep. You had that shit for a couple months and you have it for a year, then it's gone.
All you got is people's memories and stories about it. I get tired of hearing the stories. Like, let's bring it back. Like,
what Jada Kiss say, I'm sorry to hear about niggas who had it. Like, nah, nigga, bring that shit back.
Yeah, because we got the opportunity, man.
For sure.
I love different circuits that's out there. I love, you know, I've been peeping like Orange Soda and shit, which I feel like, you know, is a different crowd, different generation. We've done a lot of that in my time. So it's dope to watch other people enjoy it. Definitely. You know what I mean? But I still think we need a vibe, like a conference type vibe, but it's all our music, all our vendors, all our brands. You dig what I'm saying? Like, it is possible. It's possible. I think we got the people to do it. I think we just need those people in front who are going to push everybody, you know, and every major city has that. They got the people who create the balance just because they just trying to do more and more and more. But the city's benefiting from everything they're doing.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like,
definitely.
So what are your next plans for 2023, man? It seems like time's been flying.
Listen, man, 23, and it's zooming because shit, it's damn near May now.
Yeah.
My plan really is to get started on this project, to get started on this collaboration project.
Okay.
That's really what I want to do. And in conjunction with that, I'm trying to decide, like, I'm still 50-50 on doing an event. So that's like right here kind of, but the album is right there. So definitely main focus is the album. I'm doing my podcast. I don't do it as often, but when I do it, it's definitely worth a tune in. So you know what I'm saying? But my main focus next is to get this album started, like continue doing my thing, but to start bringing people together. That's what I want to do.
Okay. I love that, bro. I'm definitely sending some love in everything you do, man. And appreciate wanting to that. Be appreciate your flowers, bro. Like,
likewise, G.
You dig? I appreciate you coming through. All the game, all the blessings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I appreciate
this need to happen. We're going to do a lot more things, too.
Definitely.
I'm getting back to doing panels, and I'm going to do more group discussions, bring a lot of us together, and we start having these conversations.
You know I'm with it, man. I pop out, take part, or be in attendance. Whatever it is you need me to do, just let me know. I'm there. I'm definitely there.
We're going to do that real soon. I'm going to give you the details for that, brother. Anything you want to leave the people with?
Hey, man, I always tell people, wash your ass, watch your mouth, and, you know, just enjoy life, my nigga. Do your thing.
All right, man. Hey, appreciate you. Thank y'all for tuning in. All right, we out.
Peace.